that I'm not the only thing they work and wear out down here. Praise God, they'll work you like a borrowed mule down here. Make you sing and heat and sweat and then say, praise God, now preach, preacher. I learned a long time ago when I first started out in this thing, Baptists love a bargain. If you can get the singing and the preaching all for the same price, that's a blue light special at Walmart or Kmart or whatever that is, praise God. Amen. I appreciate Brother Dagenhart, and I appreciate my family being here tonight. I'm not going to preach but just a few minutes. I've got a little thought. Somebody said, did you bring an illustration tonight? I said, no, I'm just going to preach out of the Bible tonight. And when all else fails, turn to the Bible, and it'll always work. Praise the Lord. I appreciate the Lord, and I appreciate seeing a lot of good friends, good men of God, and I appreciate all of you and thank God for you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter number 9. I'm going to give you a simple little thought, but I hope it'll help somebody tonight. Numbers, chapter number 9, and I want to start reading in verse number 15. You've been sitting a little while. Let's stand as we read these verses tonight, if you're able. Numbers, chapter number 9. And verse number 15, and on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and at even there was upon the tabernacle as it was the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up after When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, and they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed at the commandment of the Lord. They rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and I pray that you would help me now for just a few minutes. Lord, I don't know who the message might be for tonight, but God, there's no doubt somebody in this meeting that needs to hear the word that you've given us tonight, and I pray, God, you'd help me to be able to deliver it just in a way that they can receive it. And Father, I pray you'd help us all. Lord, strengthen us, instruct us, teach us tonight, Father, we pray. According to your word, and Father, we'll give you praise for all you do. Thank you for all you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the passages that we've read, we find Moses leading the Israelites in the wilderness, in the desert, in the journey that they're on. And the Bible talks about this very mysterious thing that the cloud of God that had settled down upon the tabernacle. And the Bible, it's a mysterious thing to me. I can't imagine. I guess in my mind's eye, I kind of picture what that must have been like as the host of all the Israelites were there. And, of course, the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. And all of a sudden, one day, this cloud just comes and sets down on it the glory of God. And the Israelites are no doubt entranced by that very phenomenon, if you will. And I could imagine as they are there, and all of a sudden one day the cloud begins to lift up off of it and begins to move, and Moses understands that when the cloud moves, that we're supposed to move. And the Bible said, of course, that they did that. And I think it's interesting that the Word of God mentioned three different time periods that they He said sometimes the cloud would move and bring them to a place for a few days. And the Bible said when they did that, it was for rest for the people, that they could go into their tent and be rested from the journey that they were on. And then the Bible even gives us the time allotment of a month. It said that many times the cloud would stop in one place for a month and the people would keep the charge. In other words, they would take care of the religious, spiritual things while they were there a month. And then the Bible even says this. There's a time period that it mentions is a year. It said there's sometimes a cloud would move and take them somewhere in just a day or two. They'd barely get settled in till somebody look up and said, hey, the clouds are moving again. I mean, we didn't even hardly get unpacked here, but the clouds moving again. And I can imagine everybody probably throughout the host, they begin to send the word, the clouds are moving. The cloud looks different. Let's go. And I can imagine after they come to the place for a month and they sit there and they've been going about their duty of keeping the charge, all of a sudden one day somebody looks up and said, clouds are moving again. But here's where I really want to get to, that year period of time. I mean, it's one thing when God brings you somewhere and sets you for a few days. It's one thing when He brings you and sets you just for a short period of time of a month. But when you've been used to moving, and God sets you down in a place for a year, and God don't move for a year, well, that's kind of tough business right there. I thought about this, and I'm preaching on this very thought tonight, on some things to remember while waiting on God to move. Amen. Some things that we need to be. You see, in this time of the settling of the cloud, it was a time of rest for the people. I'm thankful God brings us to some places and gives us rest. It was a time that they renewed their enthusiasm for the things of God in the 30-day period of time. They kept the charge. They did all they were supposed to do, and they got closer to God in that time period. But can you imagine what it'd be like? You park there, and the cloud stops, and after 30 days is up, you look and say, well, cloud ain't a-moving. A month passes, and nothing's happened, and 2 months passes, and cloud still ain't moving. After about 6 months of sitting there, you begin to wonder, what in the world is God doing? And they know they couldn't move without it. You only find one recorded place where they moved that the cloud didn't move, and that's over in chapter 14, I believe it is. And some of them got the bright idea, said, now we know the promise of God's over there on the hill over there, and said, we're going to go. Moses said, we stand right here. Y'all go on if you want to. And the Bible said when they got there, the Amalekites and the Canaanites discomfited them. That's a big word that means they wore them out. Let me tell you something right now. I found out it is a truth that when you move when God don't want you to, you're about to get wore out. But I thought about there's a danger in the time of sitting and waiting on God to move. What are they, preacher? I'll give you these quickly and I'm done. Number one, when you're waiting on God to move, don't get bored with the scenery that never changes. By nature, we as human beings, we like to be on the move. We like to see things changing. As preachers, we like to see. I mean, we have you ever heard somebody they're looking, they say, I need a vacation, I need a change of scenery. Yeah, yeah. That's what they say. In other words, they're tired of looking at the walls they're looking at. They're tired of looking at the same old place every day, the same old faces every day, and they get to wanting a change of scenery. But I found this to be true. When you get that change of scenery, it ain't but just a day or two you're longing to get back to that place that you left. One of the greatest things about vacation is getting to come back home. Amen. Amen. But I thought about it in our spiritual lives. We're living in a generation that has gotten easily bored with the never-changing scenery. They look around their church and they say it's the same old faces. They look around their church and they say, boy, I tell you one thing right now, nothing changing around here. Them Israelites are probably sitting there for a year and they're staring at the same old rocks. You see, where they're at, there's no excitement. There's nothing to thrill them. There is no entertainment where the cloud has parked them. We're living in a culture today, church culture, that we must be thrilled, entertained. And boy, I tell you what, we got to have something that just grabs us at the house of God. And all the while you're looking to be entertained, you ought to be getting your eyes on the fact that the cloud parked out there. You ought to be getting your eyes on the fact that God's presence is in that place. Hallelujah to His name. People say, well, if our preacher was dynamic, if he was exciting, it'd be a better place around here. You show me in the Bible where God called me to be entertaining, where He called me to be dynamic, where He called me to be anything other than faithful. You do realize some of the greatest preachers that's ever walked in shoe leather, their name's never been up in lights. You don't hear them and their name cast about among the brethren a lot, but it's some of them faithful men of God that have labored in one place where the cloud parked them without fanfare and without applause. All they did was faithfully, day in and day out, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, just did what God called them to do. Hallelujah. I was blessed a few years ago to ask to be a pallbearer in the funeral of a dear man of God that I'd known most of my life. He was a little preacher that pastored a mountain church up on top of a mountain. You wouldn't want to go up there once. I wonder how many pairs of brake pads he wore out going up and down that mountain. His name was Brother Orville Wallace. One of the most humble men I ever knew, pastored the White Rock Baptist Church up on top of a mountain. And Brother Orville's name will never be known in the great annals, I guess, of history here. But when it was all said and done, Brother Orville Wallace had pastored that little congregation on top of the mountain 54 years. 54 years on top of a mountain where the masses are not there. I mean, they're not beating down the door to get there. Oh, if you ever wanted to move when the cloud didn't move, it'd be when God planted you there. You'd be looking for a bigger place, a better place, and all that kind of thing. But thank God for men that whenever the cloud puts them somewhere, they're not looking to go to greener pastures. They're not looking to go to brighter places. They say, you know what? I'm just happy to be where the cloud is. I'm just happy to be where I know God wants me to be. Hallelujah. But James, let me warn some of you. You sitting around and you look, oh, the church down the road, boy, there's excitement down there. The church across the hill, there's excitement over there. And there may be. But what you need to do is fall in love and get excited with the cloud that's in the place you're in. Don't get bored with the same. They sing them same old songs. Every time we go, them same old songs. Them same old songs ain't the problem. It's your same old heart that's the problem. If you'll get your heart right, they can sing a song you've heard a million times, and God will flood your soul with the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah to His name. Man, them old songs ain't the problem. It's them old hard hearts we got listening to it. Number two, what do we need to remember, preacher, when we're waiting on God to move? Don't get bored with the never-changing scenery. Number two, don't get weary from the battles that are ever before you. You ever heard the phrase, it's harder to hit a moving target? And that's true in the natural realm. Some of you fellows, huh? You like it when that deer walks out there in that meadow and just stands there. Now I know somebody say, I'm such a good shot. Let him go full gallop. Praise God, I'll get him. Amen. And you might be able to do that. But I promise you this, if I was going, I'd need him to stand still for me. You do realize that's why a lot of preachers like to move around. It's harder to hit a moving target. That's why I got great admiration for those men that's plopped down where the cloud puts them and stays there and fights every battle. Them familiar enemies. Sometimes you get tired of fighting, and sometimes you'd just be glad if you could fight another enemy than what you've been fighting. And it ain't always, I know some of you thinking, it ain't always people in the church. But sometimes it's just the problems that people face in the church. I've been in the place I'm at 24 years. I have fought many battles in 24 years of pastoring the folks of Dyson Grove Baptist Church. There's been a few times the battles got so hard and so harsh that the thought came, boy, if I could just run somewhere else, I might have to fight a battle, but at least it'd be a new enemy I was fighting. No, it's the same devil everywhere you go. It's the same enemy that's going to try to battle you, and sometimes, that's why you ought to pray for your preacher. If your pastor's been faithful in the place he's at, any number of years he's done fought more battles, got more scars, got more burdens laid on his life than an average man ought to have. But thank God for men that's got grit in their crawl. Thank God for men that's got backbone. Thank God for men that said, I didn't come here to get out. I come to preach and I come to help and I come to be a blessing. Amen. Amen. We don't have all the answers. Sometimes we don't even know the questions. But I'm here to tell you, praise God. Thank God for God's faithful servants. Amen. Don't get weary just because the battles come. I know a lot of you thinking, well, other churches don't have the battles that we have at our church. Oh, really? Is that right? When you got people, you got problems. All these young preachers, you're praying, I pray God gives me a big church. All he's going to do is give you a big problem. Now, you say, oh, you're making it sound like they're bad. No. I love God's people. But let me tell you something. Every person that sits in them pews is going to have a different set of problems. They're going to bring some different issues, and there's going to be times you're going to be drawn into every one of them. But thank God, when you are waiting on God to move. Amen. I heard a preacher tell this story about Brother Brian McBride. He was talking about helping ordain a young preacher. And this young preacher, his father was a pastor and his grandfather was a pastor. And Brother McBride was helping ordain him. And he said after they questioned the young man and around the table there, said they all, just the pastor stood up and said, now I want all you men that's been in the ministry and here helping ordain him, I want you to give him one piece of advice. And he said the first one to get up was his grandfather, that old aged man of God, walked over to that young boy and he bent over and looked at him and said, give God time to work. And he said after he said that, there wasn't no need for none of the rest of us to say anything. How many times down through the years I've been pastoring, Brother Steve, if I'd have just give God time. You see, I got anxious waiting on God. See, you can try to fix all them people's problems if you want to, but the fact of the matter is, I can't fix them. Somebody asked me if I was a doctor. I said, yeah, but not the kind that can help you in any way. Amen. Can I say to you, praise God, don't get bored with the scenery and don't get weary with the battles that come every day where you're at. Number three, you say, preacher, what should I remember when I'm waiting on God to move? Don't get bewildered. Don't get bewildered by the journey into the darkness. The Bible said this cloud would move at different times. Sometimes it would move and lead them in the daylight. But there's times that the cloud would start moving in the night. And you think about a God that would lead his people into a night season. You think about a God that would lead you into a dark time. You think about a God that would take you, oh, preacher, I thought when you got saved that the journey of the Christian life would always be sunshine and roses and birds are singing. They never told me that I was going to have to walk through some dark places. They never told me I was going to have to see some things and go through some things that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. But while they had to go through the night season, this is what I like about it. They was journeying in the dark, but they was walking in the light. Because that pillar was a pillar of fire. So they were journeying in the dark, but they was walking in the light. That's how you're going to make it through your valley. That's how you're going to make it through the dark time. That's how you're going to make it when it seems like it's blacker than a thousand midnights. Just keep walking in the light. Just keep. I'm glad, praise God. You don't know what's out there, little preacher, in the dark. There's something out there that's going to destroy me. I got good news for you. God can throw the Holy Ghost headlights on it. Hallelujah. And I'm glad the devil's no match for God. Hallelujah. Just stay in the fight and do God's will. Amen. Several years ago, I wrote that song. I was in a night season. I was in a darkness. 3 o'clock in the morning in a motel room, my wife asleep in the bed. And I couldn't pray, couldn't find God, didn't seem like I was in the night season. I went in and sat down in the restroom area just to, trying to get the pain out of my heart. And I said, God, I picked up my pen and I said, if there's some way I could get you to pour this pain out of my heart through this pen just to get it out of me, I'd appreciate it. And that night as I was sitting there, I wanted to write something, but I wasn't trying to write a song that night. But I wanted to write something, but I didn't even know what to write. I was sitting there trying to pray. I said, God, I don't know what to write. Holy Ghost said, why don't you write how you feel? I had to sit there and think a long time on how to put in words how I felt on the inside that night. And all of a sudden I began to pen these words. When the hurt goes deeper than the deepest place your heart has ever known. When you're standing in your darkest trial and it seems as though you're standing all alone. When the tears fall down like bitter rain and you're wondering if the sun will shine again. In the midst of disappointment, look around. You'll find a faithful friend. He's walked through my darkest valleys, shining light upon the lily by the way. He has picked me up and held me when I thought I could not face another day. And when my heart had stopped its singing and my mind was simply searching for an end, I can tell you by experience, I found a faithful friend. I'm glad in the night seasons of your journey, I'm glad he's a God that's ever faithful. You say, preacher, what should I remember? Don't get bored with the scenery while you're waiting on God to move. Oh, don't get weary of the battles while you're waiting on God to move. Don't get bewildered by the darkness. And then last of all, don't get to believing that God will never move again. When you've sat there almost a year, if you like me, sometimes my faith's pretty weak. I often tell them there at the church, I don't know why in the world God would put me in as a pastor of a church when most of the time I've got the weakest faith of any of them there. But then again, I'm in good company. Them disciples always had problems with their faith. storms. You look at every time Jesus talked to them in a storm, and they always come back to the subject of their faith. How is it that you have no faith? Where's your faith? And God has to talk to me a lot of times about my faith when my wife don't do it. You see, God will help you. He'll help you in a whole lot of ways. And I appreciate my wife. I love my wife. But there's been a few times my faith was just gone. And I'm tell you what, thank God for a good preacher's wife. She'll say, won't you quit acting? I like this old preacher. Preacher Charles Worley one time told this story. He said that he's going through a real battle, fighting the devil. He said he was awake one night, wrestling, couldn't go to sleep, turning to the bed. He said his wife, she was sleeping sound. But he said, I woke her up tossing and turning. Said she rolled over and said all she said to him was this. Said, Charles, we're going to have to quit acting like we ain't got no God. About that time, you just need somebody to come play on the instrument, praise God, and give the invitation on that right there. Can I say to you, some of you right now, you're sitting in the middle of a situation, and you've already stopped believing that God's ever going to move again. But I got news for you. After a year, they've been sitting there a year. All of a sudden, one of them little old boys looked up and said, hey, Daddy, the clouds are moving again. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what? Sometimes I believe God lets us park a while somewhere, him not move a while, so we'll really appreciate it. Amen. When he does, Brother Randy.
Yes, sir, brother. You're right. Amen.
Yes, sir. Some things to remember while you're waiting on God to move. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for the privilege to preach, and I pray you'd take the message to the hearts of this people, God, that need it the most tonight. And I thank you for these men, for Brother Steve, for the Dagenhart, and these men that put on this camp meeting. Lord, would you bless them in a special way? Father, we'll give you praise and honor and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen.